Right, in 2 Kings here, chapter 6, there's several things going on in this chapter. It switches about two or three different things there. And you get on over here to about verse 8. Why, this feller's going to go down and whoop up on some people. He's Assyria, he's going against Israel. And he wanted to go down and capture them and kill them. Kill them all this kind of stuff, and gets down here, and what's happening, though, is that every time he tries to do that, why, somebody seemed like is telling them what his plans is, and before he gets there, then he gets all messed up, or it don't work out. So he thinks there's a spy in the camp. So he talks to his men there. He said, I want you to find out who's spying, who's telling them people, you know, what we're going to do before we ever get there. Then one of his servants there in verse 12 said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchambers. That's pretty good, ain't it? I mean, he said, this guy here knows what you're thinking back in your bedchamber. Said, so he tells the king about it before you ever even decide to get anything done. So what he does then, we'll read these next few verses, starting here in verse 13. And he said, this guy's telling his servant there, he said, go and spy where he is, find out where Elisha's at, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed, here's the message. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots afar round about Elisha. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll be with us this morning. We need you real bad. I pray, Lord, as we look into your word, that you'll bring to our minds what needs to be said. It'll touch your people here today. And, Lord, of course, if there's one here that's lost, that they'll realize that, trust you as their Savior. And others, Lord, might receive whatever it is that they need. And we'll thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to talk about eyes opened and looking at this message. And before we get into the message, though, I'll tell you a little joke. I may have told it here before. This guy here needed to see something. But sometimes what you see, you don't need to tell. Sometimes you do. But this little joke I'll tell you here, it's about a pet store. And this couple goes into the pet store to look around, see if there's something that they want to get. And as they come in, there's a talking parrot in the cage there right after you go inside. And they come by, and that parrot hollers over at that man and said, hey, mister, come here. He comes over, and he said, is that your wife? He said, yes, it is. He said, that's the ugliest woman I ever saw. So they go on back through the store. And as they're going back through the store, the owner had a rolled-up paper, and he comes up there and beats on that cage and tells that parrot, he said, now you keep your mouth shut. Said, you can't talk to our customers that way. Said, if you can't say something good, just keep your mouth shut. Said, I'll get you out there and work you over good, this paper. So they go on through the store, and after a while they're coming back through on their way out, they come through on their way out, that parrot hollers over at him and said, hey, mister, come here. He come over there and he said, you know what I'm thinking. So anyway, sometimes it's okay to think it and not say it. Amen. But this man here needed to see something, see. What happens is this feller is going to go down there, and he says he's going to go down there and just bring the guy back. But that really is not his plan. If that wasn't his plan, he wouldn't have took 10,000 men down there. I don't know how many he had, but he had a whole bunch of men and horses and chariots. He filled the whole mountain full over there. And so as Elisha comes out of the morning, see, he looks around. Well, he sees them out there. And his servant comes out then, and he looks around, and he sees them. The thing about it is, though, Elisha sees the Lord, and his servant don't. And his servant sees all that bunch there, and he kind of calculates this thing. And he's thinking, okay, Elisha, he's a great man, and he can do a whole lot of stuff. And if you count me in on this, that's just one more, and that don't amount to much. And we don't have a chance against all that crowd out there. So he tells Elisha that. He said, man, we ain't got a chance. In other words, just about we don't have a prayer. But then that's what Elisha does, is he prays. And he prays, and he asks God if he'll open up the feller's eyes that he might see. So Elisha already must have saw what God had there prepared for him. And so God opened up his eyes, and he saw the hills full. He said, there's more for us than there is for them. And see, he sees all this. He saw the hills just full of men and chariots and horses. And when he saw all that, you know, of course, you know, he's comforted. And he knows that God's going to take care of it, not worry about the thing. So sometimes, you know, in this life, there's some times some that you just need to see something. Now, let's don't get off base here too much. We are not living in by sight today. We're living by faith, but still, faith, what is faith? Faith is seeing something that you believe, even if you don't see it. Amen? And so, what he did here, he saw something back there that he really didn't see, but by the faith, the eye of faith, he saw it because it really was there. And the men couldn't see that. So you have to have faith to see what you need to see. But you need to see something sometimes. And we're going to look at that here just in a few minutes. But if you go on a little further in this, prayer and sight is in this whole story. And you go on, and what Elisha does is he goes out there, walks right in the middle of the camp, all the enemy there, and down in the next verse, he prays unto the Lord. And he said, asked the Lord there, he said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. So in other words, the crowd out there really is blind. And the men of the world is blind, folks. And they can't see. And they're headed in the wrong direction and going to the wrong place. And so that's what Elisha tells them. He goes out there and he says, hey, you're going the wrong way. You're going to the wrong place. And he says, I'm going to show you the right way, the right place to go to. And that's what we're to do. Once that we get our eyes opened up, then we can show somebody else how to get their eyes opened up. Because we realize that they are really blind. They're blinded. They're blinded by Satan, amen. And that's why brother's talking about a while ago about witnessing. We have to tell them about the Lord. That's our job, amen. You say, well, the Lord will save them. Not if they don't know about him. Amen. They got to hear about him. They got to be told. They got to be told, hey, you're headed in the wrong direction. You're going to the wrong place. You need to realize this. And follow my direction here. Let me send you to the right place. Now, of course, what he does, he sends them down to Israel there, where they definitely don't want to go. Amen. Because that's their enemy. And he goes down through, he sends them to Israel where they don't want to go. Then when they get down there then, if you go on down through here, like in verse 20, and it came to pass when they were come unto Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Then the king of Israel there, which was there, he asked Elisha, he said, shall I kill him? You want me to slay him? You want me to destroy him? And he told him, no. You're going to destroy your enemy. Right there they are now. You done got them captured. I mean, they were surrounded then by the right people. So once that you show these people that they're blind, and they ever see that they're blind, then they'll follow. And these was blind and didn't know which way to go, didn't know what to do, so they obeyed what Elisha said. And when they obeyed that, they went to the place that they didn't want to go. How many of you wanted to get saved before you got saved? I mean, you weren't interested in going to church. Amen. You weren't interested in living for the Lord. You was interested in living for the devil. You might not have thought you was living for the devil. You was living for self. But you wasn't interested in doing the right thing and going to the right place. You was interested in going to the wrong place. That's what these people was. But they wound up then in the right place, which was the wrong place for them. And when they wound up there then their eyes was opened. And once your eyes got opened and you realized then that you was in the wrong place, amen, and here you are surrounded by God. I mean, God, he can surround you and just capture you and bring you right in, brother. And once that you get in there, I mean, you don't have a chance. Amen. I mean, you just surrender. I remember when I surrendered. You remember when you surrendered? Amen. I mean, I said, Lord, I give up. Amen. And like Jay was telling about it last week, I think. He said, I give up, Lord. I give up. This is it. Something's got to give. And that's what happened to these people. And they went on back to their place then, and everything was fine from then on. They never gave no more trouble on this thing, see. And that's the way it goes. Once that you surrender and you get saved, you get your eyes open then you're trying to live for the Lord. Now, you're going to mess up some, but, I mean, then you are living for the Lord and trying to live for the Lord. So we're going to look at a few things here about the eyes and about this message. Get on into the message now. And the first point that we look at on this thing is the natural eye is blind to heavenly things. Your natural eye cannot see the Lord. Amen. I mean, what you see is something wrong all the time. Now, it may be good to you and you may be enjoying it. But you see, God is everywhere and God is in everything, but blind men don't see him. Now, they're all mixed up on this stuff. I remember a job I was on up in Knoxville, and they used to send these helpers out there to us all the time. And some of these people was real losers. I mean, what they was, a lot of them was them UT students. Through the summertime, they'd come out there and work on them jobs. And they didn't care anything about learning nothing. They was just there to make a little money, and that was it. And I remember this one character. I think he was a senior over in UT. And I talked to him about the Lord. I witnessed all of them. And I talked to him about the Lord, and he said, oh, I worship the Lord. I said, you do? I said, well, how do you worship the Lord? He said, I go to the mountains and worship him. I said, he's over in the mountains, huh? He said, yeah. I said, well, what do you see when you're looking at the mountain and looking and worshiping the Lord there? He said, oh, I don't worship the mountain. He said, I look through the mountain and see the Lord. And he come up with some of the awfulest stuff. I mean, the guy was a real nutcase, you know. And you talk to him about that, and I never got nowhere with him. And worked with him off and on for, you know, months. He just one of them kind of guys that, you know, I mean, everything out there was something, but then again, everything out there was nothing. That's the way he was. But God is in everything. And man, if he looks around and he's got any smarts at all, you go to any country you want to, and you'll find people over there worshiping something. I mean, they're smart enough to know that there's something bigger than they are. I mean, you look around anything, you think, man, somebody had to do all this. Where'd all this come from? Amen? So God is in everything, but man, of course, he's evil. He's still guilty. He's still fallen. He's still messed up. And he's got to know the Lord. Amen. Matthew 15:14 says, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And that's the way the thing goes. And that's what's happening today. The blind is leading the blind. And that's where they're both going. Both falling in the ditch. Like Brother Dale said a while ago, the eternity, hell's long. My mind is not smart enough to grasp eternity. I mean, I don't understand it at all. I can grasp tomorrow and next year, you know, maybe even 100 years or something like that. But eternity? I mean, how can you explain eternity? I mean, what is that? Never ending. I mean, just on and on and on, you know. That's a long day, ain't it? Amen? Because there's not going to be no night. That's a long day, brother. How long? Forever? What's forever? Amen? I mean, how do you explain something like that? So man's eyes is blind. A natural eye is blind. But the problem is, just like these fellas here, he don't know he's blind. Sometimes you can convince him. You can find an honest sinner occasionally, but they're rare. Amen. And then the next point we think about on this thing is God is the only one that can open man's eyes. I mean, we can't do it. You can tell them anything you want to, and it's not going to work unless it's God. You can lead them to the trough. You can lead them to the Word of God. You can guide them, like over in Acts chapter 8, that guy says, how can I understand this unless some man lead me? I mean, Philip led him. He led him where? He led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, okay, right here's the man. He's the one that can open your eyes and straighten you out and tell you where you're at and where you need to be. And he did. God opened his eyes and the old boy got saved, you see. So Jesus preached all this time down here. He said, I'm going away, but said, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'll send you another comforter. And said, when he is come, he shall lead you into all truths. So the Holy Spirit of God is the only one, God himself, that can open a man's eyes. Nobody else can't do it. And we talk about leading people to the Lord. Well, that's a right statement. We lead them to the Lord. And the Lord does the rest. That's what we do. We don't put them in the Lord. The Holy Spirit does that. That's why he says he shall guide you into all truth. We just guide them to the truth. And God opens up their eyes then and puts them into the truth. Amen. So we lead the blind, but we can't open their eyes. Amen. To give sight would have to be a wonderful thing to do. If you was able, and you can go through the Bible and you can see where Jesus, you know, healed some blind people. And I thank God, you know, I never had an eye problem. And I mean, far as physically concerned, you know, I mean, I could always see. I know a few blind people over the years, met a few. I don't know how it would be to be blind. Now, Mom's mom went blind, and I was used to that when I was a kid. We'd go in, and I talked to her about it a lot when, asked her about, different things. And she'd say, well, now, if you're standing in the doorway, and the lights are shining, she said, I can see a frame. I said, that's all I can see. She said, I can't tell who it is or nothing about it. Was it a boy, girl, whatever, Of course, she knew us all by our voice anyway. And every time you go over there, she'd have a, back in, they had it on big record players, the Bible, on a big record player. And you go in, and that thing would be playing. And she'd be listening to the Bible, somebody reading the Bible. Scorby wasn't probably around then. I don't know who was doing it. I mean, I was just a kid. That's been, 65 years ago or something. And she'd be listening to that Bible on that thing. You see, she's a real good Christian woman, love the Lord and all, but she was blind. And she had limitations. And you got a lot of limitations when you're blind. I mean, they just certain things. It's just you're not going to do some things. Amen? You're not going to read your kids' Bible stories. Amen? You're not going to do that. You're not going to take them and lead them somewhere that you want them to go. Lead them by the hand. Unless you've got something where you can feel it out. And so being blind is a real handicap. Amen? And that's what the sinner is. He's blind. The Bible teaches that he's blinded by Satan. Satan don't want him to see. If he ever sees, well then, he'll see something that he needs to see. If he sees God. Now, Satan there counterfeited this thing over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. He says, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. So he's dealing there with the eyes, Satan is. He started this thing out on a counterfeit eye-opening. That's the wrong eye-opening. See, they had perfect unity with the Lord. Everything was just right. Now, I realize we can't imagine everything being just right. But it was just right. And a matter of fact, you couldn't think of anything that was wrong. Why? Because there wasn't nothing wrong. I mean, nothing whatsoever. Wasn't even no skeeters to bite on you. Wasn't no flies to aggravate you. I mean, it wasn't nothing. It was wrong. You say, that's just little things. Yeah, but boy, they're irritating, aren't they? But there wasn't none of that stuff. I mean, they could go out in the shade and just sit there, and just enjoy it as long as they want to. And nothing bothered them. Didn't have to worry about the animals, all the lions and tigers and stuff running around there, They could run over to them, and just pat them on the head, hello, kitty, And, I mean, nothing was wrong. They wasn't no evil. They wasn't no nothing. But he said, you shall be as gods. And what do you mean by that? You're going to get to see the other side. The other side that they was going to get to see was the wrong side. Amen? Why did they need to know evil? They didn't. God put them in a place where there wasn't no evil. There wasn't nothing wrong. If he had wanted them to see evil, he'd have showed it to them. He didn't want them to see evil. He wanted them to see good. Because he wanted them to see him. He come down and walk while he was good. Amen. We'd have been a lot better off if they'd never found out about wrong. Lot better off. We start out today teaching our children. Nowadays, things is so much different. It keeps changing all the time. Matter of fact, it keeps getting worse. It keeps getting worse all the time. There was things when I was a kid that you didn't say out in public. And now you have to say I'm preaching. It's awful. It's terrible. Stuff like that. You kept some things, you didn't talk about. Now they tell little bitty kids things that them little bitty kids, there's no way they can even understand what they're talking about. And they try to explain it to a little bitty kid. I mean, hey, Let them be a kid. I mean, don't make them grow up when they're five. They're not ready to understand what a 16-year-old can. Amen. So you keep that thing. But folks, today, everything is open. I mean, the TV, you know, it don't make no difference. Everything's open. Just speak it out, you know. I mean, when I was young growing up, you know, you never heard a woman cuss or nothing. I mean, now you work on a job somewhere, man, they cuss a blue streak. They sound like a 30-year Navy man. I mean, you know, they'll out cuss a man. You know, and a lot of them is worse. It's terrible how things is like that. It's a real mess. And used to, I mean, the boys would run after the girls. Now then, the girls runs after the boys. You know, what a mess it is. But I remember Brother Lackey talking about they had a school for North Carolina, Carl Lackey. Some of you know who he is. He's dead now. He's a good old preacher. And they had this school, and he was walking down the hall one day, and he turned the corner, and this boy and girl was standing there kissing. He said, boy, he's telling this at a message. I hear him preach up there in Ohio. And he's telling this thing, you know, and he said, boy, I chewed them out, you know, good, sent them back to class, said, get on back to class. We don't have this stuff here out here in the hall like this. And so they went on, you know, and then he said, well, afterwards I got to thinking, well, at least it was a boy and a girl. You know, amen. I mean, at least that was something natural, you know. But anyway, what we're talking about is you don't really need to see some things. And Satan wanted them to see. He said, if you'll just eat that fruit, your eyes is going to be opened. So here, basically, we could say Satan opened their eyes, even though he didn't. God done it because God told them about the fruit to start with and said, don't bother it, don't eat it, leave it alone, you know. And so God had the limitations and God put the stuff on it to where it would happen if they did. Why should we pray then for God to open man's eyes? I mean, that's just a question. Why should we? Well, because they're blind. And we have to do it by praying because that's how Elisha did it. He knew that God would and could open his eyes, but he prayed first. And he asked God to do it. Why? Because he knew he couldn't do it. And he knew the servant needed to see it. And he wanted him to see it. And so he had to ask God then to open his eyes. Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he might see. And that's how we do this thing, see. We pray that God will open their eyes. We have others to even help us pray that God will open their eyes. It's right to request that folks help you pray about these situations, especially on the lost. But it's right to have people helping you pray about anything. Amen. Another thing, see, is it'll glorify God when we pray for God to do it. Because God wants us to pray and ask him to do it. God wants to open the eyes of every man that's blind. It's not his will that any perish, but all come to repentance, the Bible says. So God wants to save everybody. Amen? His desire is to save everyone. And we say a lot of times, you know, God can do anything he wants to. Sure he can, but he's not going to save anybody against their will. And his will is that they get saved. But he allows you to have your will. That's why he give you a will. And you can reject and you can fight it off and you can go on and on and on, you know, and just fight and go on, kick and scream, and I'm not going to do it and I'm not going to do it. And you can go on to hell if you want to. That's just the way it is. There's all kind of people out there doing it. Lots of them are going to hell and they're headed for hell. And that's where they're going to wind up. And it's a terrible thing. But all you can do is tell them and pray that God will open their eyes. that they'll see. I've talked to some, and talked to some honest ones that realized that they was lost and still wouldn't get saved. It's a hard thing to understand when a man's eyes is opened and he sees where he's at and won't change. But there's a bunch of them there. But the majority of them's eyes is not opened. Amen? They're just not opened. But the next thing is, God does open eyes. He does open them. Amen. I thank God that He opened mine. Amen. I got convicted in one name at church. Amen. You can get convicted anywhere. Of course, I had been taken to church and going to church. But I got convicted on a Saturday. And I just, you know, around the house there working in the yard and stuff. And just like that. I mean, I don't even know where it come from. Well, I do, but I mean, you don't know the reason that it came right then. And it just came right then, you know, boy, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. I mean, out of nowhere, but then out of somewhere. And I knew right then, and of course, I believe God. And I knew, boy, I got to get saved. Only thing is, I didn't have sense enough to know I could go ahead and get saved. I mean, you know, I thought I had to be at church. You know, I mean, 11-year-old boy, how smart is he? Amen. Kind of dumb, at least in my case. Amen. And, boy, I mean, I just all tore up. I was tore up all day and all night. And I was to the place, I've heard preachers say, well, you don't go to church aiming to get saved. You can't do that. He's wrong. You can if you're convicted and know you need to get saved. And that's all I was wanting to do. And go to church the next morning and get saved. I remember it just distinctly, just real well. And I went to church, and that was the old building that used to sit right out here. It burnt down. And in that old building, and I went in and I sat down about the third row up from the back, sitting in there, and there's a guy sitting beside of me on the outside next to the aisle. And I don't know a thing the preacher said. I mean, I sat there all the time wanting him to shut up so I could go up there and get saved. That's the only way I know to do it, see. I mean, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know anything else but to go up there and get saved. I'd seen a lot of people go up there and get saved, you know. And I sat there till he got done preaching, made the invitation. I told him to let me out. He said, where are you going? I said, just let me out, you know. I went out and come walking up through there, and I walked up there right in front of him. He's standing up on the stage there, and he looked down at me and said, what do you need, son? I said, I need to get saved. It's that simple. He said, okay, get down there and ask the Lord, and He'll save you. And I got down there and asked Him, and sure enough, He saved me. See, that's a simple thing. It works. He opened my eyes. My eyes was open that I could see. I could see I was lost. And He opened them up then, and I could see I was saved. I mean, just like that, I was saved. That's been 63 years ago, I think. And I'm still saved. It's better now than it was then, and it was real good then. Amen? God does it in a moment. I mean, it's not no long, drawn-out thing. I mean, when He opens your eyes, I mean, bang, they're open. Amen? You remember when yours got opened? I mean, here you are lost on your way to hell. Just like these people here heading the wrong place, the wrong city, the wrong direction. He goes out there and he said, hey, you're going the wrong way. Amen? You're going to the wrong place. Let me send you to the right place. And he had to pray God would blind them. So he had to blind them first and then get them down to the place and then open their eyes. Amen. So just like we was blinded, God opened our eyes then when He got us to the right place. Amen? Amen, amen. Psalms 146, verse 8 says, the Lord opened the eyes of the blind. Amen? And all through the Gospels where He opened the eyes of them blind people. Amen? That they might see. And then one more thing. even us that can see, we need more sight. We need to see more. There's a whole lot more that we need to see. Amen. I've been preaching since 1971, and I've been learning all that time. And there's a lot more now that I need to see. There's a whole lot more that I don't know than I do know. Amen. I remember a guy one time several years ago, I heard him preach this thing. He'd been preaching, I think, 25 years or something. And I was just a young preacher. I hadn't been preaching about 3 or 4 years. And this guy made this statement, real stupid statement, as preacher. He said, I've been preaching for, I forget how many years it was. And he said, I've preached everything it is now. I said, there ain't nothing else for me to preach. And I listened to that, you know. And here you are, a young man, you know, hearing a guy preach something like that. You know, you've been preaching about 3 or 4 years. And I knew I hadn't preached nothing much in 3 or 4 years. I didn't even know nothing. And he said something like that, and I thought, boy, you mean you run out in about 25 years? Ain't nothing else left to preach? I found out that guy was a real idiot. Amen. Nothing else to preach? Well, my, my. I ain't even got started. 45 years. Well, he's new stuff all the time. I remember a guy started to the church up there, and he told one of the fellas there in the church, he was a church hopper, is what he was. But of course, I didn't know that, you know. I mean, I just met the guy, had a family, a bunch of kids, you know, a good family. They started coming to church there, and we was glad to get them to come, you know. They sung some, and you know, just a real blessing to the church when they was there. And I remember Jack, I believe it was, telling me about it. He was talking to him about, you know, because he knew he was a church hopper. And he said, well, said, you're going to stay here a little while and hop off somewhere else? You know, he said, I'll stay until the preacher starts preaching the same ones over again. He said, then I leave. And he stayed about a year and he left. And Jack, I remember him telling me about this. He approached him, you know, and he said, how come you left? He said, he ain't preaching reruns. How come you left? He said, and he come up with some kind of something or another, you know. That's just the way the guy was. Amen. I mean, I'll grant you that sometimes I'll preach a message again, you know, over to Andrew, at least something similar to it. But there's new stuff in here all the time. I mean, you're not going to run out of something in this Bible. You can rest assured of that. I mean, if we lived 1,000 years and preached 1,000 years, we'd still have some new stuff. I mean, it's new every morning, brother. I mean, it's just there. It's amazing how you go through the Bible and read the Bible, and sometimes you're just sitting there reading. And I have problems with that a lot of times. I'm like the brothers talked about this morning. I'll be reading. Sometimes I set aside just time for reading. All I'm going to do is read. I'm not going to study right now. I'm going to read. And I start through there reading, and sure enough, something will pop off the page, and it just walks on the pages, you know, and I say, boy, that looks good there. And then you take off studying. You know, that's the way preachers is. Amen. That's how the stuff goes. I remember asking me one time, you know, about, well, different ones has done it. But a guy was asking me, he said, how do you get your message? I said, just all kind of ways. I mean, you'll hear a statement. You'll be reading. And, you know, something will happen, you know, just like that. And I was telling Brother Jay this morning, Brother West was talking about, you know, different preachers and all things they said and all this kind of stuff. And I got to thinking about when I was in it up north. And I'd be traveling quite a bit, you know, going to the hospitals and different things and turn the radio on to hear something. And they had some of the driest, sorriest preachers on the radio up there that you ever heard. I mean, they'd put you asleep and you're trying to drive. I mean, it was awful trying to listen to some of them characters. But they were some black women. that come on preachers. Now, them old gals could preach. That's a terrible thing to say. You know, when a black woman can out-preach a man. But they could. I mean, and they come up with some of the awfulest nuggets that you heard. We was up in Chicago one time. We used to go up there at them museums. Right in front of them museums is a good place to preach. Pass out tracts up. Just people all the time. There's a bunch of them big old museums up there in Chicago. I mean, they're all over the place. You get out in front of them things, and we was out there one time and preaching and passing out tracts and heard something down the road there. Of course, there's another museum down there. Two or three of these guys said, well, it sounds like preaching. Said, we're going to drift off down there and see what it is. Well, they drifted off down there, and it was some black women down there preaching at that other museum. What was so funny about it, they stood around down there and passed out tracts with them, listened to them preach. But what was so funny about it, and them boys come back, some of my young preachers, I had 12 in that church up there. They come back up there, you know, and they said, man, I was listening to them black women down there, said, I almost renounced my call. You know, listening to them gals. But I say that to say this. Answer the question about this guy asked me where you get your message at. I got some messages from them. I'd hear it on radio and they'd come out with some statement, you know, and I'd think, man, that's good. I'd start looking that thing up, you know, and God give me a message out of it. You tell that to some people, they'll think, oh, you know, hey, wherever you can get it, God opens the eyes. Amen. He opens the eyes. Lastly, they said over in John 12, sir, we would see Jesus. Amen. I mean, they wanted to see Jesus. So, in our life and in our Christian life, we need to see Jesus. We need more sight. You do not have enough sight. I remember talking to them young men up there, them preachers, and I told a class up there one time, I think it was about 12 lessons of it, on a preacher and his problems. And I taught it from experience. I used the Bible, of course, but I taught it from experience. And that's what I went through. Tell them what you face from experience. And I remember this one old boy, a few years later, he got him. He didn't even go to church there. But he got him from somebody. And I remember we was over in a meeting, and he come to me. And he was pastoring a church down there. And he'd visit us along, you know, so I knew him. And he pastored his church, and he come to me, and he said, well, preacher, said, I want to tell you something. Said, I listened to your sermon, your messages on a preacher and his problems. And said, you went through one thing in there and said you mentioned that a preacher, when he has a calling to a certain place, or to do a certain thing or whatever, God, of course, has to call him. But God doesn't have to call the wife. God calls the man, and it's good if God will deal with the wife and show her also, but he doesn't have to. If she's a submissive wife, according to what she's supposed to be in the Bible, then she'll follow him. And he said, when I was listening to that, he said, I didn't agree with it. He said, I said, when God calls a man, he's going to call the woman. He's going to show her what he needs also. But he said, then God called me to this church and said, I really felt led that God wanted me to take the church. And I talked to my wife about it, and she didn't want to go. Of course, she didn't want to leave the church as that. And he kept talking. He said, we've got to go. And he said, she submitted and finally went on with me. And he said, now, we've been there like a year or something, and said, she's okay now and everything's all right. But he said, I found out you was right. God don't have to call her, but if she'll submit and go on, then he'll work out right if God's in it. And it will. Because God deals with the man. And God opens the eyes of the man. And God shows the man what he wants. And if it's a rebellious wife that causes him problems, it's going to be bad. Amen? It's going to be rough. And I'll tell you one more little illustration. We had this big old biker got saved up there. This fella led him to the Lord that works with him. And the old boy gets saved, and his wife supposedly was already saved. She just hit and missed, you know, and didn't hardly ever go to church. But this old boy got saved, a great big fella. And he was tall as Jason and a whole lot heavier. And anyway, he decided he wanted to get baptized. He lived too far from our church to come regular. But he wanted me to baptize him. And he told Bill about it, and Bill said, he talked to me. I said, yeah, tell him to come on over. So he come on over, talked to the church, you know, and told the church he'd been saved and he wanted to get baptized. And I'd agreed to baptize him. I got him in there and baptized the old boy. Great big fella, man. I liked to drown in me and him both. But anyway, I got it done. And he's telling this thing later. They're going to have this child's going to be born. And it's going to be a girl. And his wife, you know, this guy, when he got saved, he got it. I mean, he got on the street and started preaching. He wasn't even a preacher. I mean, he'd get out there and, man, he'd preach and tell everybody about the Lord. And a great big old monster of a feller, you know. And, I mean, bold, you talk about bold. Well, it wasn't no need him being afraid of nothing big as he was. She got to where she didn't even want to go with him because, you know, I mean, he was just too bold and he'd tell everybody about the Lord wherever they was at and arrest her. It made no difference. He'd just start telling everybody about the Lord. So his baby's going to get born, you know, and she told him, she said, now, listen, said, I'm going to name this little girl. Said, I don't want all that Bible stuff and all them Bible names and all that stuff. Said, I'm going to name her myself. Is that okay with you? And he said, well, you know, if you come up with a name, it suits me. He said, yeah, it'd be all right. He said, you got one in mind? She said, yeah. I said, I was wanting to name her Sarah. Want no Bible names, you know. I said, I was going to name him Sarah. I said, name her Sarah. And he said, yeah, that'd be fine. That's a good name. Poor old thing didn't know nothing. So you need more sight. Let me put it this way. You are not smart enough in the Bible. I don't care how smart you are. There's a whole lot more that you don't know. The problem nowadays is, and I was talking about them young preachers, the problem nowadays, and I've done met two or three down here since I've been down here, you can't tell them nothing. Why is that? They already know everything. If somebody knows everything, what are you going to tell them? The only thing is they don't know everything. It's like these young kids that comes on the job that you've worked with, that you're supposed to teach something, and they already know more than you do. Amen? That's the same way we're dealing with this. But you need more sight all the time. The only one that can give you that sight is the Lord, the Holy Spirit. I can get up here and I can open up your thinking. Any of these other preachers can. And we can give you a thought that maybe you hadn't thought of before. But if it goes inside and helps you, it'll be from the Holy Spirit of God. All we do is just point it out. The Holy Spirit of God will be the one that opened your eyes to that thing and helps you. So always pray. It takes prayer first. Pray, open their eyes. And when you start to read the Bible, the best way is you open up that Bible and you say, Lord, I need something out of your word. Give me something. You don't have to have no great big long prayer for 10 minutes. You say, Lord, give me something out of this word. I'm going to read your word. I'd like to have something from you. Just give me something. And you know what? It'll work. Now, you may not get something new every morning yourself, but if you keep reading it, you'll get something. He'll give it to you. Would you bow your heads? The first thing I'd like to ask you is, has your eyes been opened? Do you realize for certain, you know for certain that there's a time in your life that you realize you're headed to hell? Is it now? Are you still headed to hell now? You're young, you say, oh, I got plenty of time. Yeah, I've had little babies' funerals. All kinds of kids' funerals. You don't have to be old to die. You may get killed in a wreck on the way home. You know for sure that you're saved. If you wasn't ever lost, then you ain't saved. There wasn't a time in your life that you knowed for sure that you was lost and you trusted the Lord as your Savior, then you're still on your way to hell. I mean, the fires of hell is reaching up after you right now and trying to suck you down there. You better open your eyes, young man, young girl. You better open them eyes and allow God to reach you. I mean, you can be as rebellious as you want to, and there's all kinds of them in hell now. And there's going to be a lot more of them. Is that going to be you? And you need what you need to do, slip out and come up here and get on your knees and cry for mercy while it's extended. I mean, I love you is the only reason I'd tell you this. I don't want you to go to hell. And if you're sitting here and you're just not getting nothing from God, then pray God will open your eyes and give you something. He'll do it. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll touch hearts. I don't know any need here myself. But Lord, we realize that you know all things. And I realize, Lord, that you'll present it to them. I realize, Lord, they're going to have to accept where they're at and understand where they're at and call out to you. And I pray, Lord, especially if there's one here that's lost, and I feel that there is, I pray, Lord, that you'll show them their need. Lord, that they'll trust you as their Savior. Others, Lord, that might have a need here, I pray, Lord, that they'll give it to you and just pray and ask you to open their eyes. We'll thank you, Lord, for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand while we sing, Brother.